doubt at all about the impartial nature of the impeachment inquiry, please don't. I want to play for you one little comment from the weekend, and then we'll get to our next guest, Liz Peek from Fox News and the Fiscal Times. Adam Schiff, appearing in California over the weekend, took away any pretense of impartiality in this impeachment fiasco that's going on and will continue this week out in public for all to see. I want you to hear bite number 11 from Adam Schiff over the weekend. Bite 11. Go.
2 years ago, I stood before you and I urged you to resist, and you did. But we are more than a resistance now. We are a majority. We are a majority in one house, and we will become the majority in the other. And we will send... We will send that charlatan in the White House back to the golden throne he came from.
And so this is the guy that's in charge of the impeachment inquiry. If you didn't think it was a sham before, and I don't know how you couldn't, but if you didn't, that should tell you everything you need to know. Liz Peek joining me now. Liz, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I mean, that really covers it, doesn't it?
Well, we know that Adam Schiff is not impartial. We know that for 2 years he spun all kinds of false narratives about the Russia collusion narrative. And, you know, I think Americans are a little skeptical of Adam Schiff right from the get-go on this. I think, personally, I have a Fox piece up just saying he's done a terrible job on orchestrating this impeachment effort. If he wants people to sign on, for frankly, if the Democrats wanted people to sign on, they should never have put Adam Schiff in charge of it, because he is known to be dishonest about the Russia collusion hoax. He was dishonest about the whistleblower and whether his office had had contact with him. And he's been dishonest in how he has managed this all along. And by the way, I think that has had a major impact, because the Republicans have been out there protesting basically the way Schiff has managed the inquiries, the witnesses, all the dark secret hearings that were held as sort of preludes to what we're seeing now. And, you know, the good news for Republicans is people are bored with it already. There's a front page New York Times article today about how Americans just aren't paying attention.
Well, you know, and I don't doubt that. They've seen this movie before. They've seen Adam Schiff before. And Adam Schiff may play well in California. I am the resistance leader. Of course you are. I mean, do you think a little aside here, Liz. Do you think Adam Schiff says to himself, why not me? I could be president.
Of course. I mean, all want to be president.
Right.
That's what you go into politics for. But, you know, the bad news is he has now become the face of one disgraced probe, the Mueller investigation, and I say disgraced because after 2 years and $30-something million, nothing came of it, and now he's involved in another one. And the stupid thing is, and I think this is actually fascinating, number one, we all know how this is going to come out. We know the Democrats are going to vote to impeach. The hearings and the witnesses and the testimony, all of that is completely irrelevant, because we know the Democrats need to impeach the president to satisfy their most rabid base, right?
Right.
And that's what they're going to do.
But here's
we also know it's going nowhere. Basically, it goes to the Senate, and the Senate is going to vote to acquit, because the Republicans in the Senate really don't see any grounds for impeachment here. And by the way, Trump helped them raise $125 million in the third quarter. And I hate to sound cynical, but guess what? That pretty much takes impeachment off the table. So we've wasted all this time, divided the country even more than before. Meanwhile, nothing is getting done in the House. Democrats took the House, good for them, last fall. What have they got to show for it? What have the American voters got to show for it?
Almost a year later, nothing.
Zero.
Yeah, almost a year later, nothing. Here's what I am seeing shape up, even with never-Trumpers and some Democrats, even people that dislike Trump on a visceral level, I mean, really hate the guy, that are honest. They look at it and go, it's not an honest process. They know that he's never been given a chance to govern. He's never had a chance to breathe. They've been, you know, kicking him and attacking him and throwing mud at him and trying. From the day that he took office and they said, well, he got rid of the Martin Luther King statue out of the Oval Office, a complete lie from the Associated Press within a few minutes of him assuming the office. They've been after
him.
That's
really a good point. And I think, you know, it's amazing if the left really creates a sort of sympathy figure in President Trump, that will be the most head-exploding thing they've done wrong in the last decade. But the truth is, we're all kind of getting to that point. Even people I know, as you say, who are sort of neutral, who watch this stuff out of the corner of their eye, they're kind of going, well, wait a minute, really, what is all this about? What, is the point. We've got an election, by the way,
right,
in a year.
Less than that.
So if they really hate the guy, vote him out of office. The problem is, and I really think this is a fair comment, the problem is they don't think they can do it. Al Green's thing about, you know, if we don't impeach him, he'll be reelected.
That's right.
He's absolutely right, because the economy is in pretty good shape. And moreover, there's a massive dogfight going on in the Democratic primary. I wrote a piece last week for The Hill saying, hey, this impeachment thing is good for Democrats because it's taking our eye off their unbelievably messy, increasingly vitriolic primary battle. And we keep having people enter the race. It is less than 90 days to the Iowa caucuses, and you have new people coming into the race. What does that tell you? It tells you that Democrats are looking at the field they have, and they're saying, holy crow, not one of those people can
That's
beat
what we've
Donald
got.
Trump.
That's the best we've got. Liz Peek here with us. So remember in 2016, just coming into the first part of the year, and all the articles were written about a brokered convention and so forth, you actually have about four or five Democrats here. They're going to pick up delegates along the way. They're going to they're going to get them in Iowa and New Hampshire and South, that are all going to show up. And you might have somebody with a plurality, but you're not going to have somebody with a clear-cut victory. What about a brokered convention, real quick?
I think that's totally a possibility. I think most people have no idea how that works, but you're really talking sort of smoke-filled rooms. And here's what happens. It'll be like Bernie Sanders in 2016. His followers, Elizabeth Warren's followers, if they lob somebody in to be the candidate, and after all the work that those guys have done, they are going to stay home. I mean, Bernie Sanders' followers did not pour out to vote for Hillary because they thought they'd been cheated out of the nomination, and they were right. If it happens again, you're going to have a massive split in the Democratic Party.
By the way, I still think she's coming.
She could. She's so delusional, and I really think this is absolutely right. She thinks all these exogenous factors were responsible for her loss. She still doesn't understand that she lost the election because she is a terrible candidate. And I go back to when she entered the race. No politician has ever been more distrusted and disliked than Hillary Clinton. You don't really recover from that in the course of a, you know, 9-month campaign.
Yeah, people can talk about how terrible Donald Trump is. They knew that when they pulled the lever.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. You have to remind your listeners and your friends, this is not an abstract choice. It comes down to two people. In 16, it was Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. So when people say to me, oh, how could you vote for Donald Trump? And I said, how could you vote for Hillary Clinton?
Right.
And it'll be the same this time around. I think Donald Trump has a lot of great policies. I'm behind him. But the truth is, it is a two-person race at the end of the day.
Yeah, here it is. How can you vote for Donald Trump? I don't know. Show me the Democrat that's on
exactly.
the ticket. You know, there's your answer. Liz Peek, always brilliant. Thank you for being here, as always.
Thanks for having me. Always enjoy it.
There you have it. Liz Peek, everybody. Always a breath of fresh air and clean and concise and brilliant. I think that's the word, brilliant. Hey, by the way, don't be afraid to go to stevegruber.com, the brand new website. It's got everything you want. It's got so much content. A couple of brand new articles just went up in the last few minutes, so don't miss any of that. We have videos and articles from Wayne Dupree and Life Zed and myself and so many more. You don't want to miss it. More content than you can shake a stick at, and I've got a pretty big stick. So there you go, 41 after on a Monday. It's the 18th of November. Good to have you here. Again, it's stevegruber.com. You can also find the podcast there of any interview like the one we just did with Liz Peek. Back after this.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like
a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.